All right, get your Bibles. And we are still in Romans. Josh has been preaching when he's home. He's going to continue to do that, sharing the pulpit with me and getting him prepared for one day being at full time at the helm. And if the Lord doesn't come first, whatever, we're making plans and working toward greater growth. And I'll be around. You don't have to worry about that. I'm going to be here working with this church for a long time. And in the meantime, I will still be preaching the Word of God and helping direct your lives. So we're going to talk today about a reasonable service, a reasonable service. And we'll read first Romans 11 and 18. Let's read Romans 11, 18, and then we'll go to Romans 12 and 1. But 11 and 18 first. Everybody say, do not boast. Do not boast against the branches. But if you do boast, remember that you do not support the root, but the root supports you. All right, in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. We got a green one up there in the deal, Brother Jackie. He's learning. 12 and 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Now let me read this one more time. I beseech you, or I, almost to the point where he said, I'm begging of you, I implore you, I adjure you, whatever else. You therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Now, Paul in chapter 11, and of course we've been going through the book of Romans, and I don't want to rush ahead, especially when you're reading your Bible. When you see the word therefore, you know he's talking about former things. And it's very important to read the scriptures contextually and understand what message is coming across to us. And in this particular point where Paul says to us, therefore, if you understand the mercies of God, if you understand, what is he talking about, understanding the mercies of God? Well, if you go back to Romans 11, where he says, don't boast against the branches, he's actually talking to Gentiles, us, that was grafted in to the root. The original root was of the Hebrew nation. And so the Lord said, because of unbelief, and so that we could be grafted in, that part of the branch was cut off, we were grafted in. And he said, blindness has happened to Israel in part, not in total, but in part. And eventually the scriptures tell us that all the house of Israel will be saved. But in the meantime, the Lord made it possible. I've got some theories about why it had to happen that way. Part of the theory is because I believe the Israelite people did begin to boast. You know what? Boasting's pride, isn't it? Boasting is seeking your own glory. In fact, Jeremiah said, hey, don't boast in wealth and don't boast in what might. If you want to boast of anything, boast about the fact that you understand and you know the Lord. And I kind of think when you start trying to say, well, I understand and know the Lord, it draws you up short and keeps you from boasting. I'm learning to know him and I'm seeking to understand him, but who can fully know the Lord? And who can fully understand the Lord? That's our lifelong quest. So in other words, I think Jeremiah is saying, shut your mouth and just live for the Lord and stay humble, walk humbly before your God. And so Paul said, don't get the big head because the Jewish people were set aside and you were put in this place because that is the mercy of God that he brought us here. I really believe, as I said, he had to do it in the way that he did it. The work God, how God works, we don't always understand. In fact, Paul said in this very chapter that we really don't understand the mind of God. We do not understand how he works. I mean, and great and unsearchable are the mysteries of God. And we don't know always how that he does things, but we do know when he's working. And what he's saying here, I believe one of the reasons that we were grafted in, for one thing, the Jewish nation was never meant to be the only people to be saved. The Jewish nation, the Hebrew nation, was established so that the world could see God working in a nation and be drawn to God. The same thing with the church. The church is not for us to get on a hill and stick our tongue out at the world. Nah, 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 we got it and you don't. It's not for us to get moralistic in the sense of judging and making people feel, but to say, listen, it's the mercy of God that we're here. We're a city set up on a hill, a light that can't be covered. And we want you to come to the light. We want you to come and receive what we've received. That we know without a doubt, Paul said, I beseech you by the mercies of God. We know it's the mercy of God that we're here today. Not by my own works, lest any man should boast. Not because that I'm special or I'm so. The Jewish nation was, like I said, was chosen because God used them for a lot of reasons. And I won't go into all the reasons, but primarily because he wanted a nation for the other nations to view and say, ooh, he's a great God. In fact, at one point the Lord said, don't think it's because of you. The only reason you're being saved is I don't want my name messed up. I want to keep my reputation where it should be. It's kind of like going and getting that kid out of jail. Now, my dad never had to get us out of jail because he said, if you go to jail, you'll stay there until you paid your fine or whatever else. Now, that remains to be seen because we never went. And actually, it wasn't because we didn't deserve to go. It's just we didn't get caught. And the other thing is this, we had more fear of my dad than we did the jail, okay? So that was the other thing. But here's the thing. Many times people will rush to get their children out of trouble because they don't want their own reputation tarnished. Look, I got a name in this town, kid. You need to straighten your act up. And the Lord said, listen, I want people who will be humble so that when the world looks at them, they won't start taking my glory, but they said, there's a reason why I walk the way I walk. There's a reason I talk the way I walk. I walk the way I walk and talk the way I talk. The way I live, there's a purpose behind it. Now listen to this. Because we see his mercies. In Romans 12 and 1, he said, listen, I want you to therefore, because we see God's mercies, because we see how he works, and I won't go into all the scriptures, but you know the Bible says that we did not choose him, he chose us. Nobody comes to the Father unless the Spirit draw him. And so when we begin to understand that it really had everything. So, you know, we talk about how I came to the Lord at an early age, and I understand all that. That's how we communicate. That's how we talk. But why did you come to the Lord at an early age? Well, Brother Tommy was telling me yesterday, God put a man right in his path. It was a big, muscled-up dude that got him into Bible study and started teaching him the things of the Lord. It was because there was something in Brother Tommy's heart that was crying out for God. I'm just going to make this little side note, and I'm going to go on. When God puts you in somebody's path, you need to wake up and pay attention. There's a reason for it. God, don't make mistakes. And don't be irresponsible if he puts a soul in your path. Somebody said, well, I don't know enough. Don't forget all that. God knows everything. And if you're hooked up to him, you'll be okay. If you know enough to tell the truth and give your testimony, that's all you need. And sometimes the truth is, hey, brother, what about where the Bible says this? And you say, I don't know. But then you say, we can study together, though, and try to figure it out. So, but when we understand the mercies of God, therefore, because we understand the mercies of God, it is a reasonable thing to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice because we understand his mercies. Because we understand he brought, Paul said, listen, I'm going to tell you something. Don't think that you can't be removed. God did this with the original people to bring you in. And so don't get boastful and proud because, as Paul said, I could become a castaway or useless. I could, after I've run a good race and fought a good fight, I could mess up and become of no use anymore, a castaway. Now, we should present ourselves to God as a living sacrifice. Now, let me talk about sacrifice first, and then we're going to talk about reasonable service. Calvin said the minister Calvin said, until we really understand how much we owe to the mercy of God, we shall never have the right attitude about worshiping God. Until we understand how fully his mercies have worked in our lives, we won't have the right attitude or feeling about worshiping. He said, well, how can I know if he's done merciful things to me I don't know about? Well, he's done enough for you to recognize and to see how he's working, not just eternally, but in the natural sense, okay? Let me tell you a little story real quick. When Dylan was probably 8 or 9, I'm guessing at the age, he was 8 or 9 years old, I think, and Ronnie was with us then. Ronnie Thornton, my nephew, passed away recently. We had been working on the church, and I got really hot and tired, but I was young back then, and so I thought it didn't matter. We decided to go to the lake, and on the way to the lake, we got a big bag of Twinkies and Cokes and stuff like that, and we're, you know, chowing down, and so we get to the lake, and Dylan and Ronnie are in the boat, and I back the boat into the water, and the rope for the boat kind of slipped off the trailer. I said, I'm just going to park. I'll be right back. So I went up there and I parked the boat, and I come back down to the water, and the waves and the wind had caught the boat and shoved the boat way out into the water. And I thought, oh, I'll just swim out there and get it, which I am not a good swimmer, okay? My wife she floats and everything else. I'm not a good swimmer. I swim about like a rock, you know? And so, but I thought, oh, I could make it out to the boat, no big deal. Well, I forgot it was full of Cokes and Twinkies, and I had on blue jeans and tennis shoes. So I jumped out there, and I started swimming toward that boat, and I realized I'm not going to make it because the closer I got to it, the further the boat got away. So I told Dylan and Ronnie, I said, try to put the motor down and crank it up and come get me. I even forgot we had life jackets. I could have just said, throw me a life jacket. But anyway, and I don't know if they were close enough to do that. So they were panicking, and Dylan started hollering, somebody help my dad! Somebody help my dad! And I knew after a while, I was going down for the last time because I was fighting with all my breath, and I got panicky. And I remember the last thing I seeing when I was thinking as I was going down, really seriously, in my mind, there was the thought, the devil's going to try to kill you today. He's going to try to take your life. And I saw that muddy water through my vision, and I was doing my best to come back up, and I thought, I was just too tired. I can't do it. And the next thing I know, I feel strong hands on me, pulling me out of the water, pulling me over into a boat. I told my wife I thought I died and went to heaven because I looked up and two girls in bikinis were above me. But anyway, but it wasn't that. It was a man with his daughter and his wife that were there. And he said, you know, we never stop here and swim. But we stopped here to swim. And we saw you from the minute you started. When you got in that water, we watched you, and we finally said, that guy's not going to make it. And we went over, and we pulled you out of the water, and I got in the boat, and Dylan and Ronnie said, let's go home. I said, nope, we are not going to let fear rule us. We're going fishing. And we cranked the boat up, took off fishing, and I told my wife, I've never seen a more beautiful sunset or tasted a more wonderful bologna sandwich than I did out there in that boat. Mercies of God. Why didn't I die that day? Why didn't I drown? Why was anybody even there? It was even in the weather was obviously inclement with the wind and the waves. So I said, well, yeah, you know, you can hear the anecdotal type thing. Well, I knew a man, he shouldn't have died, and he died. You're proving my point. I should have died. But it didn't. And I don't understand how God's mercies work, but I know they work and I know they're real, not just for our salvation, but how many times does he intervene and his mercies are so alive and real in our life? Now, mercy means to be compassionate, compassionate treatment, especially of those under our power. I will ask you this. What do you think reasonable service? When we understand his mercies, we should live as a living sacrifice. First, let's talk about sacrifice. And we'll talk about reasonable service. Sacrifice. This really hit me, though. I don't know why I never made this connection, because I know it, but I was listening to Jordan Peterson. I bought a book of his, and I like a lot of it. He's learning still. He's a young Christian, but he's an older professor, and he's very smart on the professor end, and he's got a lot of it right, but he doesn't have all of it right yet. So I'm not criticizing. I'm rejoicing because God is bringing him and using him in today's age. One of the things he said was that Adam was cursed with work in the garden. No, work was never a curse, okay? It was all the weeds that became the curse. Work is a blessing. Don't ever look at work as a curse. But what he said, and this was really good, he said, God put sacrifice in our life from the beginning at the Garden of Eden. Sacrifice is an integral part of our life. Yes, it is. You get married, you're going to learn how to sacrifice. If you don't, you won't stay married. That's just the bottom line. You have kids, you learn how to sacrifice. Amen. If you don't, you have screwed up kids. Or the state might end up with them. If you want to, you want some nice things around your house, you got to go give somebody part of your time to get some money from them so you can buy good. Sacrifice is part of everyday life. And why is it we're so afraid of sacrifice? And people talk about present your bodies to Christ, it's a reasonable sacrifice. We think, don't talk sacrifice to me, preacher. I don't want to hear it. I just want the good stuff. I just want to have a good time. I just want to be blessed. Well, I'm going to tell you something. It is not a horrible word to learn how to sacrifice. As a matter of fact, when Paul says here, it is your reasonable. You know what that word reasonable means? If you look it up in the Greek and also in the English too. But reasonable service means logical service. Logical. Sensible. It is a logical thing to say, I want my body to be presented to God as a living sacrifice. He don't want you dead. He wants you alive. He wants you a living stone. He wants you to be attractive. He wants the life in you to be attracting people that are dead in the world to the life in Christ. I thank God for Callan. I consider her like a miracle as part of our work. I mean, she learned to play music on her own, and she's developed into a fantastic music director. And you know what I like about her? She draws people to life. She don't get up and go, oh, well, here we are. Let's worship God. But come on, wake up. I like that. Wake up, Journey Church. Let's worship. There are some mercies of God we need to rejoice about. And so it's reasonable. It's logical. Let me say this for you. You don't check your brain at the door when you have faith. You know, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14 that if you got that two or three prophesy, they're talking about a group coming together. Let two or three prophesy, and they're not talking about prophet ministry. They're talking prophesy, foretelling of God's word. Let two or three prophesy, and if one is sitting there close by and they get something, don't interrupt. Shut up and wait your time. Turn. Paul is teaching church ethics here. He's teaching Christian ethics here and how we should live for God. But he said, let two or three prophesy and the other ones judge. What? You don't have to accept everything people say on surface value just because they're a Christian. Listen, they're your Christian brother, but they're also a very human individual, and they can be off. I had a guy get up in one of the churches I pastored one time and go, I see death everywhere. I see death. God's written Ichabod above the church door. I said, brother, I don't receive what you're saying. No, God's not going to keep me here working and striving to see revival just to let everything go to dead and Ichabod above the door. And I'm going to tell you something. He was prophesying over his own life. He ended up leaving the church and falling out of grace with God. We had revival at the church. Somebody comes to you and starts prophesying some weird, horrible thing. Just say, I don't receive that. I'll pray about it and see what God says, and he'll give me confirmation if there's something I need to deal with. But don't just come, you know, you have to be responsible, and it's okay to use your logic when you're serving God. See, you know what faith is? You know what Hebrews says faith? It is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What's that mean? Well, when your mama says, listen, I'm going to tell you something. I know everybody wasn't there, but people that were there yesterday, ooh, Brother Tommy, he cooked collard greens. Oh, my God, they were awesome. Jesse, green bean casserole. My wife, some wonderful squash. You know what? I said this. I wasn't joking. This makes me feel good after I've been eating all that sugary stuff. Why? Because there's substance in it. Yes. It gives you strength. You know you can grow on that. You eat that sugar, after a while, I know it may fatten you up for a while, but if you stay on that, you're going to get sick, and then you lose all that weight, but I'm not willing to go that far. But anyway, so what I'm trying to say is the Lord says, and the things I have are when your faith begins to be active, there's substance to it. And there's evidence. Where? In the Word of God. We can go back and we can track what has happened in the past when people are obedient to God. You see, sometimes the obedient part of it looks a little bit unreasonable until you go back and you realize everybody that listened to God and were obedient, they were blessed because of it. And you know what? The disciples, there was a young man that came to the Lord and said, okay, he thought the Lord, I know what he thought. He was just like us. He thought, oh, the Lord's going to pat me on the back, think you're such a good boy. You're doing everything right. And he comes and said, good master. And Jesus busts his bubble right away. Why are you calling me good? There's only one good, that's God. Well, I thought Jesus was God in flesh. He was, but he was talking about the human side of himself. And if he, let me just throw this out here because I got to finish that thought. If he was tempted in every point like as we are, yet without sin, then that means that bad thoughts came to him too that he could have acted on, but he did not. And he said, how do I get eternal life? And the Lord said, okay, do the commandments. I've done those since a youth, and I know that's at the point when he thought, the Lord's going to say, oh, come over here. Get on my team. You're so. But the Lord knew his heart, and see, that's the problem. When we deal with the Lord, he knows your heart. You can't hide from him. And the Lord said, okay, go sell everything you got and give to the poor. And he went very, very sorrowful because he had a lot of money. Now, here's my point. We'll preach on him again another time. That's not what I'm dealing with. I'm dealing with disciples. So disciples, they heard all this, and they went to Jesus, and they go, we gave up everything to follow you. What do we get? Just like us, isn't it? I mean, we're all as humans, we're all alike. Lord, what did I get? I gave up everything. I heard what you told the guy. We gave up everything. And the Lord said, I'll tell you what. You're not going to give up anything in this life that you're not going to receive 100-fold in repayment. And in Matthew, the 19th chapter, it says in the life to come. In Luke, he says in this life and the life to come. You're going to get 100-fold. Now, 100-fold does not mean 100%. 100-fold means fullness of potential. God will take that very dream that you think you just got to have. And I promise you, if he denies you that dream, that means he's got something better for you. And one day you're going to say, you're going to look around and say, God, I'm so glad you got me off of that path because I was not on the right path. You put me on the path, and I'm so fulfilled and so happy on this path. So we think we want certain things. It's just like Elvis Presley. I read his biography, and it was so good because I liked Elvis. I like reading biographies because I like reading about people. But Elvis Presley was miserable because undoubtedly, probably one of the greatest entertainers that ever lived in the United States of America, right? No doubt. He could pack a stadium out in minute. But he got paranoid, and he couldn't even go out during the day. He would have to go slip around at night. And when he got into motel rooms, he wanted tinfoil put on the windows. And he got paranoid because he had all friends at Graceland all the time hanging around, and he got paranoid because he thought, all they are hanging around for is for me to get crazy and give stuff away. And he would do that. He gave houses away, cars away. He'd just get in a crazy mood and start giving stuff away. But he was a miserable individual. Died from abusing drugs while he was fighting them at the same time, preaching against them. Even President Nixon gave him a special badge or deputized him to fight against drugs. And Elvis is taking and abusing drugs at that time. And he knew they were bad for him. And we look at some things and we're just like little kids at Christmas and we think, if I could just have that. And the Lord said, if you will come to me and give your life for my sake, you'll gain it. You'll gain your life. Because I know what's best. I made you. I know what you need. And when we look at that and we say, you know, that's really reasonable. That makes sense. The Lord made me. He knows what I need. You ever have one of your kids look at you and say, this is what I want to do? You think, it may be what you want to do, but it ain't what you should do. You're not built for that. Oh, you don't love me. Yeah, I love you. That's why I'm telling you, you're not built for that. You're blind. You can't be a race car driver. That's why I've said it before, and we need to remember this. We need to quit telling our kids, you can be anything you want to be. We need to teach them you can be anything God wants you to be. Seek God, and he'll put you in something way ahead of your time, and you will be such a blessing to others. And you will understand the joy of sacrificing your life for the kingdom. Because he gives it all back to you. That's what he said. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. What was it? What was the message you preached? Seek. Given it shall be given unto you. Counterproductive to the world. Counterproductive to the thinking of the world. No matter what we give in this life, we'll be repaid 100-fold, the Lord said. Now, I'm going to end up with a story because I didn't want to preach long. I knew we had some other things going on today. And Jesus also said, if you are going to be my disciple, you must pick up your cross every once in a while. Quarterly, monthly, weekly, when? Take up your cross daily. You know what that tells me? That tells me we have to pick up a cross daily. You know, cross is the greatest cross is a cross between the flesh and the spirit. What are we dying to when we die to ourselves? We die to this humanity that wants its own way, that wants to do the works of the flesh, that seeks things that is not advantageous to it, that would destroy us. And so we lay that every day at the foot of the cross. We pick that cross up. And one of the ways that we can so joyfully pick it up is we look at God's mercies in our life. And we say, you know what? It's reasonable to serve God. Look what he's done for me. Look what he's kept me from. Look what he's brought me through. And look at what he's got waiting for me. Zach Williams, I close with this story. Zach Williams, I saw him. I watch Grand Ole Opry every once in a while on YouTube because I love country music. Always have. And so Zach Williams on Grand Ole Opry singing his gospel songs, by the way. And so afterwards, Bobby Bones was doing interviews. He grabbed him and he said, I know you're a Christian singer and all, but has your music changed very much since you became a Christian singer? And so Zach Williams says, I spent my life, the early part of my life, trying to bust down doors like the Grand Ole Opry and other venues, and they never would even crack open for me. And I gave my life to the Lord, and now every door, every thought I wanted to go in is open. And I thought, whoa, there's a story behind that. And Bobby Bones quickly jumped off to another subject, and I don't know if he's a Christian or not, or if he just thought, well, the broadcasters don't want to like me talking about him being converted too much. You know, we got to get off this subject. You know how they do on TV. So I thought there's a story there somewhere. So I just happened to think of I was thinking, Lord, I need a good example at the end of the sermon. And I found Zach Williams' testimony. And he was raised in a Christian home. His father was a music leader in the church, played the guitar and was a music leader. And so he said, I was no stranger to the gospel. I was no stranger to the stories of the Bible. And he said, even as a young person, I went to camp and I made a commitment to follow God. But he said, you know what it was? It was all head knowledge and nothing was heart knowledge. It was a head decision, never a heart decision. And so later on, he started fooling with drugs. He dropped out of high school and somehow got his GED or something, went to junior college and decided he was going to play some basketball there because he's a tall guy. And his roommate had a guitar, and he picked the guitar up and started playing guitar and writing songs. And before too long, he was drinking, fell in love with not just music, with drugs and alcohol. And he thought, this is my life. This is what I'm going to be. I'm going to be a rock star, man. And so formed a band, and he got a booking agent that started booking him the tours in Europe. And they were touring Europe, and he'd come home, work for his father, some in his construction company. He ends up getting married, and about 5 years into the marriage, his wife, who is pregnant, leaves and goes to her parents and says, you're drinking and your drugs are out of control. And I don't think we're going to be able to stay together because of that. And so he says that he is riding along in a bus, and his bus driver is flipping around through the radio stations to find some music. It's one of their tours. They're actually in Spain. And I'm going to tell you something. I've heard this name before, and God had to save this guy at one point too, but he heard Big Daddy Weave's song. Big Daddy Weave singing Redeemed. Zach Williams said, the lyrics hit me like a lightning bolt. It was like God was saying, Zach, I see you differently than you see yourself. And Zach said, I thought, wow, there is a way out of this. So Zach went home. He quit the band. Now see, logically, to the carnal mind, that makes no sense. To the spiritual mind, it makes all the sense. He quit the band. He got his wife. He started going to church. A year. Now I want you to listen to this timetable. So y'all don't think, this is the thing we've got to fight. And that is, somebody comes to the Lord and they think immediately, boom, genie in a bottle, I get what I want. Stop it. God is more interested in your growth than he is in you having what you think you want. And he will grow you into something. They exited Egypt, but they had to grow into the promised land. And so Zach, a year later, in the church, he was asked to start leading the singing in a new campus the church was starting. 2 years later, 2 years after that, so 3 years, there is a producer that comes to church and music writer that hears Zach Williams singing, and he goes to him and he said, listen, I want to get together with you. People don't sing like you sing without having a story. There's something going on. And he shared his story. And the rest is history. You know Chainbreaker, right? There was Jesus that Zach sang with Dolly Parton. I kind of have a feeling Dolly probably got him on the Grand Ole Opry. But these songs that made his debut album one of the biggest, most recent debut albums. in recent history. And that's why Zach said, yeah, my music sounds a lot alike, but the words are different. Because, go ahead and come on, Callie, because the way I used to live, I don't live that way anymore. That my Savior, He changed everything. So Zach says, you know what? I don't know if he was still looking for a record deal or whatever. I don't know. But here's the deal. He was meant to have one, but just not the way he was doing it. And God sent the right person there. And the songs he's writing resonate with people's hearts. God is not asking you to give up anything that is good for you. He never will. He's asking you to sacrifice those things that will only bring you sorrow and trouble and destruction. Got life and life more abundantly for us. We're willing to follow Him. Let's stand. Reasonable service. Makes sense. Callie's going to sing. If you want to come down and pray, these altars are open. I'd love to see you come up here if God has touched your heart. Please don't be embarrassed. We're family. We pray with each other. Sing for us, Callie.
Hold me now in the hands that created the heavens. Find me now where the grace runs as deep as your scars. You pull me from the clay, set me on a rock. You call no hope. your grace holds me now. Your grace holds me now. Oh, your grace holds me now. Your grace holds me now. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Here I stand, high in surrender. Once I was broken, but you love my whole heart through. Sin has no hold on me, 'cause your grace holds me now. Healed and forgiven, look where my chains are now. Death has 'cause your grace holds the ground, and your grace holds me now. Your grace holds me now. Oh, your grace holds me now. Your grace holds me now. Healed and forgiven. Look where my chains are now. Death has no hold on me, 'cause your grace holds the ground, and your grace holds me now. Oh, your grace holds me
God is so good. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for praying. We have any of our family from Journey Church, I'm talking about we're all family. Okay, I know a bunch of our Crips, but we're all family. We have family from the Journey Church here praying. It's all as you have done, and I appreciate it. Remain in prayer and seeking God for it. It may be my turn next, or it might be your turn next. And it's very important that we support each other in prayer as well as love and compassion. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. Amen. Thank you, Callie. That was a perfect song. Let's read it together. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and mind as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Philippians 4, 6 through 8. The Lord bless and keep you. Lord, make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Lord, lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. And may he cover you with his name, which is Jesus. I love you guys. God bless you.